Thank you for those songs, James and Carla, and leading us to the throne of worship. We just came through, Christmas, and the theme of Christmas is God with us. And to Sam and Kathy and the children and Matt, my prayer is that you would experience the gift of Christmas, of God with you. And all of us, that God is with us. In our brokenness, God is with us. In our grief, God is with us. In our loss of our loved ones, God is with us. And when we need comfort, God is with us. Now, Jesus came for the broken, came for the downtrodden. As we look back at 2017, a year ago we were here. And I don't know if any of you would have chosen the path that God had for you to walk. But I will take a moment, if you would have a word of testimony of God's faithfulness in the midst of your journey, of God's faithfulness that you've experienced in 2017. It's testimonies that give strength to those going through trials in the moments. The testimonies of how God's been faithful to other people. So don't take a moment. If anyone would like to share a testimony of God's faithfulness to you in 2017 amidst your journey, the ups and the downs, just raise your hand. Elaine, go ahead, Esther.
Many of you don't think of God as a husband. But God has been an amazing, amazing husband to me. And I am so grateful for that. He understands my fears. He understands my destiny. He knows where I'm going. Yes, he's been an amazing husband to this widow.
I thank God for being here. I was praying in the front. I saw God's hand working in my body. Yeah, I continue to pray because Matt is a good friend. He loves children. And I saw God give strength for the family. His family, him. God spoke. He say, "Matt, it's gonna be okay. The tumor is away." I thank God for that.
Thanks, Javier.
3 weeks ago, I lost a good friend, and it was really hard for me to accept that my 48-year-old friend had died. And we went to visit Lisa, and her words have just stuck with me ever since. She said, "We really have chosen not to be bitter towards God, and we choose to praise him even in our times of deepest grief." And I was really blessed by that. And knowing that my friend is in a much better place.
Last January, I had a knee replacement, and I have experienced so much favor from the Lord through a successful procedure, through recovery, through friends that surrounded and supported me during that time. I'm really, really grateful.
Okay. Mark had his annual exam in November and was diagnosed with a nodule on the prostate. And he did have a prostate biopsy this week. They took 12 specimens to send for cytology, so it'll be a week or more till we get the results. He was also asking the doctor about his voice problems. It's been raspy, and so he was sent for a consult, and there is a polyp on his vocal cord. So we're in the process of making decisions about that. She feels it should be removed, and yet there's never a good time. He would not be allowed to speak for 2 weeks or even whisper. So pray for direction for us in knowing if we should do it now or wait till the end of tax season. So we just want to testify to God's goodness through all of this and the peace that we have and just knowing he's walking with us, whatever comes.
Merle, would you pray for them?
God, we just want to take this opportunity to come to you now and lift up Mark and Ruth and Mark's health situation. Father, we just pray for wisdom as they make the decisions moving forward for the doctors as they diagnose the problem and consult on treatment and how to treat it. And Father, we just pray that they can feel your presence as you wrap them around with peace and understanding through this time. And we pray that we as a church family can, you know, show our support and just, you know, rally around them with prayers to you. Pray for healing through this matter. In your name we pray, amen.
Anyone else?
We have experienced God as such a good shepherd and in just how he orchestrates every detail of our lives before we even know what we need. And so I just want to bless the Lord for being our good shepherd. And I hope he could be a good shepherd to you guys, to you all this year.
Up front here, Ben.
I just want to praise God for his faithfulness and always remembering me. There's times that I haven't always put him first or haven't take time to talk to him, but whenever I need something, whenever I cried out, he's always there, and I just want to praise God for that love and faithfulness that we don't deserve.
Thank you.
I too want to just thank God for his faithfulness and testify that. I think the older I get, the more I treasure his word. John talked about just the Bible and how we have it in front of us, and I'm so grateful I have it in my hands and God's faithfulness to make that word come alive to me. You know, as you know, I've had a long journey of affliction and suffering, and I just testify how God meets me in that. And God gave me two verses this morning that I just want to share with you in testimony of that. And these are for you, Matt, too. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard.
Thank you.
Thank you, James and Carla, for playing my favorite song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. There's a lot of things that can happen in our lifetime, in our year, and we can worry or we can fear what the future may hold. But I'm so thankful we have a God that hears and understands our cries. And when we give him our worries and our fears, the peace that transcends our soul. And I'm so thankful for his presence in our lives.
Well, thank you for sharing. And don't be afraid to tell someone what God has done for you in the midst of your journey. Sometimes, the other day, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It is so unique that I'm sitting back here with the Gingrich family because I'm usually up front. Bear with me. January, several years ago, we heard the words brain tumor. God is sovereign. In his great wisdom, he took my dear Eleanor. I don't know what he's going to do with Matt, but he is going to get glory out of this. He is going to use this to bless the family, to bless the congregation. To God be the glory.
Thank you, John. You've always been an encourager for us in the midst of pain. The other day, our computer was acting up, and my wife, I just told her to restart the computer, and all the problems would go away. It'll happen to work that time. But did you ever wish that you could push restart and everything would be all new again? Everything would be clean, it'd just start up and everything worked perfectly. You know, in our passage this morning, I'm going to be going preaching from Psalm 51. And David wanted to press restart in the worst sort of way. David really was in a hard place. And whereas you may not be in David's shoes and messed up like he did, we all, as we look back on 2017 and beyond, we all have messed up and displeased the Lord. The Lord told David, he said, what you did displeased the Lord. You brought anguish to the Lord. You brought pain to the Lord. What he had done brought shame to the name of the Lord. And David, in Psalms 51, is crying out for a restart. He's crying out for mercy. I want to show you an incredible story of David. And I hope you look at it in a way you've never seen it before, of a man who was broken before the Lord, a man who was soft towards God. You know, David was not a perfect man, but David used him because he had a heart that was soft towards God. He said he was a man after my own heart. And David was soft towards God. The three areas I want to look at is where I was, where I am, and where I'm going. In the light of David's story. We all have a past story. We all have a present story we need to be honest with. And we all need to have something we're living for and striving for. And I want to look at that in light of the story today. You know, David really, really, really messed up. He made some bad decisions. You can turn to Psalms 51. I'll be reading it in a moment. But he made some bad decisions. You know, it was springtime. And springtime was time for war. And he sent his men off, and he stayed behind. And it just so happened that he was up on his roof. And it just so happened that there was someone else's wife on another roof. And it just so happened, and it just so happened. Wink, wink. I think David had a plan in mind, and he carried it out. The desires of his flesh got the best of him. You know the story. God sends Nathan to him. And David got all defensive and all mad at Nathan, right? No. He said, I'm sorry. I've sinned against the Lord. Not only did he repent, but he was a very, very broken man. Repentance is like going down a highway. And by God's grace, we experience a change of mind, which leads to a change of behavior, which leads to a change of direction. And I believe that's what repentance is. And if that's repentance, brokenness is the off-ramp we get off on. Brokenness is the off-ramp we get off on. It's a ramp where God halts us and shows us the end of where we're going if we don't stop, and crushes us underneath the weight of our sin. Brokenness is a place we come to where we admit that all we have and all we do in and of ourselves is not worth it, will not cut it, and God crushes us underneath the weight of sin. We are sorely insufficient. There's another exit being taught today, that sins are not all that bad. It's not that big a deal. It's just a little thing. It's just a little sin. The problem is today people are lying. They're cheating on their business or their family or their spouse. They're not being honest. And they go to people for advice, counselors, doctors, whatever, and they say they don't feel good. Instead of telling them the truth, and that they really don't feel bad enough, they say, here, take this, or take this little pill, and hopefully you'll feel better. Instead of pointing them to the offering of brokenness, a brokenness for their sins and what they have done, and sorrow for sins. It's like there's an engine light on in the car, and we break the light, hoping that fixes a problem. That would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Your engine light's on, your car's running hot. I'll just break the light and keep going. Now, I think brokenness is something that's been lost today. So it's been lost in our teaching, it's been lost in Christianity in general, a brokenness and sorrow for sin. I believe brokenness is the appropriate response for our sin. When God shows us our sin, the first response should be brokenness and sorrow for how we have grieved the Lord. And I believe there's a movement today in mainstream Christianity where you're okay and I'm okay, and just pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be okay. And brokenness and sorrow for sin is not being taught. I'm not talking about being stumped in the mud or this certain ritual you go through to appease. I'm talking about a sorrow of sin before God, that we've offended him, that we've displeased him, that we were a part of something he died for. I'm talking about appropriate response to a holy God when we realize we've broke his heart and we broke his law and we've offended him. David was a broken man when he realized he sinned against God. David was a broken man. And I believe brokenness is an appropriate response when God, through his Holy Spirit, reveals to us our sins, our sinful ways, the way we treat people, the way we respond, our greed, our lust, our covetousness. Any sin God reveals to us, I believe brokenness is an appropriate response to that sin. You can open your Bibles to Psalm 51. David is crying out and having mercy, crying out for God to have mercy on him. According to your steadfast love, have mercy. So David's recalling who he was. Now he's being honest with himself in Psalms 51. It's the most beautiful piece that was ever penned on brokenness. It was penned about a year after his whole ordeal with Bathsheba. This is a story of a broken man lamenting to God, crying out to God. I don't know how you've ever read this or how in your mind when you read something you hear it. Like, do you read it like, have mercy on me, O God? Or do you see a man begging, have mercy on me? It's like you're standing before a judge who has life and death in his hands, and you're pleading your case for mercy. That's David. He was a broken man, realizing that he had blown it, and he was up to the Lord for mercy. Follow after as I read. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou breakest may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, nor take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God, O my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of righteousness. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have given it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. And get this, the true worship, I believe, is a sacrifice of God or of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I don't necessarily have 3 points, but I also have thoughts to ponder as we think about the brokenness of David and the journey he was on. The first one is sin leaves scars. You know, we confess our sins, but sins leave scars. And we all have scars that we carry from sins that we've done. Scars that we wish we could do away with. Wish they were never there. Wish we could forget. But there's consequences and scars from the sins that we have done. Nathan told David in 2 Samuel 12, about verse 9, about the scars that will follow him because of the sin he has committed, of the consequences that will follow him because of his sin with Bathsheba. David wept, he fasted, that God would not take his child. But after 7 days, the child had died. And David here in Psalms 51 is weeping before the Lord in brokenness. And notice there's 3 things that he asked the Lord to do. He says, blot out my transgressions. Blot out, or wipe out, is used a number of times in Hebrew, in the Old Testament. And the most familiar probably is when the Lord wanted to wipe out the earth of the flood. He wanted to wipe the slate clean of all the uncleanness that was in the world, that the people had brought on to the world. He wanted to wipe it clean. And he's asking God to wipe my slate clean like you wiped the earth clean after the flood. The second thing he says, wash me. And if you think back to those days, they didn't have Maytag washing machines. They had those scrub boards where the women took the wash down to the brook or wherever, and they scrubbed and they scrubbed and they scrubbed and they scrubbed. And David here is saying, scrub me, wash me like a washboard, make me clean of all the uncleanness. And the third thing is, cleanse me from my sin, referring to a ceremonial cleansing where they was made things ready for religious use. It says, wipe me of my stains, wipe me of my scars. Let me start over with a clean slate. He's begging the Lord. I have scar tissue. I have things that are lingering with me I wish were never there. Think about it, it's a year later. He said, my sin is ever before me. The scars he wished could be gone, the consequences. You know, we all have scars in our lives of sins we have committed. You know, there's scars in my life I wish I couldn't remember, of things I've done, things I've said to people, the way I've treated people. They're in my mind, and we'll get to it later why they're there and why God doesn't remove them. We can be forgiven, but the consequences and the scars linger. David said, wash me of my scars. I believe every regenerate man weeps at his sins. It's grieved that we carry within us the potential to deny our Lord, that we carry within us the potential to hurt people. I believe every person, every born-again believer should weep that they have the potential within them to hurt people, to cause pain to people. That we have a wickedness within us that we could deny our Lord. I hate that about myself. I hate that I carry that with me. I pray that we all would hate that we carry that with us, and that we never forget that we have that potential and never get used to it, that we have that potential to grieve our Lord. David was broken at the potential of what he had done, the capacity that was in him to deny his Lord and to do the sin with Bathsheba and the pain that brought upon himself and his family. We have the tremendous ability to hurt people within us. Help, I pray we never forget that. We never forget that. Sin leaves memories. David said, "My sin is ever before me." Sin leaves memories that remain with us. There's people that have prayed for God to remove the memories, remove them from me, of things that they have done or have caused hurt to other people, their family, or others. Will you pray that the thoughts will leave you? I think we need to recognize that sin brings memories, creates memories that stay with us. You ask a woman who's had an abortion of her journey and how that those linger with her for years, that decision to abort the child, and how that they see children that would be her child's age, and they just break down and weep because of scars that are with them and the memories that are with them. I believe it's good that we can't forget in a good way. It helps us to remember to be broken over sin. We're not created to forget. I think there's a word for people who forget. It's called amnesia. Am I correct? Like, if you forget, that's a problem. But there's things we would like to forget, but then there's things we want to remember. So God has given us the ability to remember, and with that ability comes the ability to remember the wrongs that we've done as well. So there's three things I want us to learn from that. That if we couldn't remember, we couldn't testify of God's grace. If we couldn't remember, that God really was with me. I can't remember, but can you imagine if we couldn't remember of God's goodness and God's grace to us? Memories stay with us. We couldn't testify of his grace. If we couldn't remember, we wouldn't be warned not to do them again. Do you imagine if you couldn't remember that fire was hot? And you walk around, I can't figure out why my hands are burnt all the time. I just can't remember. I touched this fire, I just can't remember that it's hot. Can you imagine walking around like that and not being able to remember? It helps us to remember not to commit those sins again, the memories. God's given us that gift to call us to holiness and brokenness before the Lord. And the third thing is, we couldn't rejoice in our victories. Thank you, God, for calling me out of. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me. If we didn't have memories, we couldn't thank God for what he's done for us. Do you ever sit down and think about all God's blessings and what God has done for you? We did a little bit here this morning of what God's faithfulness. Sometimes just sit down and think of what all God has done for you, what he's called you out of, what he saved you from. You know, this Christmas we were caroling in the city with the Bridge and Life Club children, and you know, I'm so blessed. The heritage I've been given, the values I've been given, I've been saved from so much. don't ever forget to thank God for that. You know, having a memory helps me to remember who I never want to be again. I mean, there was a time in my life, there's interactions I had in my younger years that I'd never want to be that person again. And the memories of those things keep me. And I pray I never will forget those things. And you can't have my memories, and I can't have your memories. But never forget those memories. I'd never want to be that person again. I'd never want to be that, to cause that pain to a person again. Never want to be that person. I believe brokenness is an appropriate response when we understand that, of the ability we have within us to hurt people, to hurt God. Brokenness is an appropriate response to sin because sin is against God. Verses 4 through 6. I'll read them again. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done thou this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear in thy judgment. Behold, I was shapen in my iniquity, and sin my mother did conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part that thou make me to know wisdom. David got it right. He said, God, I've sinned against you. He didn't say, I sinned against Uriah or Bathsheba. He said, God, I've sinned against you. Why? Because God created Uriah. God created Bathsheba. And when he sinned against them, he sinned against the Almighty God. When we sin against each other, do we realize that we've sinned against God? I believe brokenness is an appropriate response to our sin. And that all points back to our Lord. And when we sin, when we displease the Lord, it all points back to a holy, sinning against a holy and a righteous God. I believe some people are painting a weak picture of Jesus, that he overlooks sin, and that sin's not a big deal, and we're all saved, we're all gone to heaven. I pray that we never have this picture of Jesus. Like, we have a picture of a God who hates sin. That's what he died for. He died for your and mine sin. And he took my sin, took him to the cross. And whereas he should have slain me yesterday for my evil thoughts and my bad attitudes, he gave me mercy for another day. I believe brokenness is an appropriate response to our sin. Blot out, wash me, cleanse me. I want to be clean. Verses 7 through 12 talk about sin as a hindrance to true worship. Out of brokenness comes a desire to worship God. So David's on this journey of repentance, brokenness, and now in 7 through 12 he has the desire to worship God. Let's read them again, 7 through 12. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And listen to the desire of his heart. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Get this, from the bones that you have broken. He's acknowledging the brokenness before God. He said, out of that brokenness, let joy and gladness come forth. Hide not thou face from me, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David is beginning to desire to worship. Out of his brokenness, he's beginning to worship, to want to worship God. In 2 Samuel, after David, during the time his child was sick, and he was fasting and weeping and on the ground, and his servants wanted to pick him up, but they wouldn't let him. And after 7 days after the child died, they were whispering among themselves because they were afraid of what David was going to do to himself when he heard the news that his child had died. But David heard them whispering. He said, I'm okay. He said, I want to go and worship the Lord. See, David was on a journey that came from repentance to brokenness, from a desire to worship, and now his heart wants to worship the Lord. could be the reason why people don't experience true worship today is because they have bypassed the exit of brokenness for their sins, brokenness for what they have done. I believe repentance outside of brokenness can lead to a man-centered worship where it's all about me. Look, God, you should be glad I repented. You should be glad I came back to you. And we think we're owed something. I believe without brokenness, there is no true worship. Verse 8 says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou breakest may rejoice." What incredible testimony that the bones that in our brokenness, that we can rejoice and truly worship God. What I was, what I am, what I want to be. David's on this journey from repentance to brokenness, from a desire to worship to coming to true worship. In verses 13 through 17, it says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall ring aloud of righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have given it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings." And get this, I believe this is true worship out of brokenness. "The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." I believe that's a picture of true worship. The song goes like this: "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, and for me to him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" I believe that was penned from a man who experienced brokenness, who knew the depths of the sorrow of his sin and felt the weight of it, that he had sinned against God, and that what he was receiving from God was a gift from the Lord. In closing, there's no greater message than the gospel message that we preach, the word of God. But I believe there's a massive distortion being taught today, that it's being presented that you can have a personal relationship with God, that God is your personal Savior. God will bring meaning to your life. I believe that is part of it, and that is what we experience. But I believe they're missing the heart of the gospel. I believe the good news of the gospel is this, that we need to preach to people that God is holy and I am not. And one day I will stand before a holy God, and I will either be standing there on my own righteousness or lack of it, or in the righteousness of another. That's the gospel we need to preach. That's the gospel that someone lived a perfect life in the name whose name was Jesus. And by my accepting Jesus and turning from my sin and claiming his righteousness, that there's power in gospel, that there's power in the name of Jesus. And he can transform our lives and give us purpose and meaning. And yes, all those things are true, that we'll have purpose, we'll have meaning. We have a personal relationship with God. But we must never forget that God is a holy God and we are not. And people need to know that. And when we come to the end of ourselves and realize we are nothing, I believe that's brokenness. When we come to the end of ourselves, realizing that what we have done has been a tremendous mistake and we have failed tremendously. Look at the verbs in our text. It says, verse 1, it says, "Have mercy, blot out, wash me." Verse 7, "Purge me, wash me." Verse 8, "Let me hear." Verse 9, "Hide not your face." Verse 10, "Create in me." Verse 11, "Cast me not." Verse 12, "Restore to me." Verse 14, "Deliver me." Verse 15, "Open my eyes." You know, I believe in brokenness, David realized that all he needed comes from God. Before brokenness, he believed he had what it took, and he failed miserably. But I believe brokenness, and David said, "Let the bones that you have broken, rejoice. I believe, and as we come to the end of 2017 and we look ahead to 2018, let's begin with brokenness. Blot out, wash me, cleanse me. Bring joy to the bones which you have broke. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in the sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. True worship is the sacrifices of our God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. I believe we need to sing that message to the mountaintops. Brokenness is a place we come to when we admit that all we have and all we do in and of ourselves is sorely insufficient and are crushed under the weight of our sin. Would you be broken and poured out as wine upon the altar? My prayer is that as we face 2018, like we faced 2017, we didn't know what was coming. Some of us have experienced death, some loss, some broken relationships, some strained families. But may we ever be broken before the Lord. That in us we have the potential to break the heart of God. May we never forget that all we have comes from God. And in of ourselves, we are nothing. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lesson on David and how transparent you were with his life and how he messed up. But God, you said he was a man after your heart. He was soft towards you. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Break us in areas we need broken. Lord, if you're speaking to someone here today, I just pray that they would cry out before you as David did. Lord, have mercy upon me. Wash me clean. Restore to me the joy, and I will proclaim your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.